Let's turn to the book of John. And I want to look at chapter 5. Something very important. Just want to present a thought that's very, very powerful to us. Wednesday and Thursday, I've taught a couple of times this past week. And one of the things that I focused on intently was believing the Word of God and what the manifestation of the Word of God could do for us. So I want to read a verse here this morning, and I want to start in verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Have you guys ever considered what judgment is? What if I told you that another word for judgment is condemnation? Would you believe me? Because when judgment is passed down, does it condemn? Does it condemn you or either make you free? Yes or no? So if you're judged, you're either made free or you're condemned to death. So when all judgment is given to the Son, that's a good thing. You know why? Because He came not into the world to condemn. So is Jesus Christ out to condemn you? Or is He out to raise you up into eternal life? He is. What? Yeah, it's how you receive it. It's how you receive His word. Okay? And the next verse is going to clarify that in a second. But there is something here very, very important to understand when you're dealing with the Word of God. The Word of God was sent to resurrect you and to condemn who? The man of sin, the devil, Satan. So if the Word of God is heard correctly in belief and faith, then what will it do? It will raise you up to be with the Lord. But if it's heard in no faith or in unrighteousness or in fear, is it possible that the same judgment that's been committed to Christ would now condemn you? How many of you have ever read the Word of God or heard the preaching and been condemned? Yeah, I guarantee, man, it's easy to have happen. But here's what's happening in you, is that when the Word of God is being preached, it is sent to condemn the wicked in you and raise you up as the child of God. That should happen in every person. It should exalt the Word of God in you and make you excited and free you from sin. That's awesome. Any of you ever sinned before? Anybody? Okay, good. Now that we've got that out of the way, what does the Word of God come to do to the sin? To condemn it. It's going to reveal it. But it condemns it to death. It puts it to death or separates it from you so that you can walk without sin. Isn't that awesome? So if all of this judgment was given to the Son of God, then He's going to be faithful with it. Now let's read the next verse. Verse 23. It's given unto the Son that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Now we're going to get into a couple different things, okay? Do you have to honor God who is Spirit and honor the Son who is His manifestation? You do, don't you? So you can't honor one without honoring the other. So do you have to give acknowledgement not only to God who is spirit and whom you can't see, but unto Jesus Christ, the image of God in whom you can see? Is that important? That's important. Now we're going to read the next verse. 24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now let's take a moment on that verse. Look at that. He that hears my words, who's talking here? It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is teaching. If you hear the word of the Lord and believes on him that sent me, Jesus is even saying, you got to believe on the one that sent me, God who is spirit. So if you have spirit, who is God, God who is spirit. Is he invisible? Does it say he's invisible? What else does it say he is? Immortal. Yes, he's everlasting. He's eternal. He's all of these things, right? So when you're dealing with God, you're dealing with spirit, invisible, immortal. He can't die, man. God cannot die. He is the eternal, righteous King of all things. Everything comes from God. Here's the cool part, though. He's not only spirit, invisible, immortal. He is the Word, as John 1:1 says, right? So if God is the Word, we know that Word is invisible. It's spirit. So now, if Jesus comes preaching, that means that God, just like the book of John says, the Word was made, what? It was made flesh. It was manifested among us. So now that Word has become Jesus. At least a manifestation, because Jesus is the Word. So Jesus came preaching, and now what is spirit, what is invisible, what is immortal has now become a manifestation. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And that manifestation is an image. So we have God who is invisible has now manifested his word and made it an image. And now that image is saying to us, he that believes on him that sent me. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is saying here, you've got to believe in the invisible. You've got to believe in the invisible, the immortal, the spirit. You've got to believe in God who you can't see. And you know what I like about God? You know what I like about God? Here's one thing I like about him. He didn't just remain invisible. He said, I need to present myself, so I'm going to present myself as an image. And I'm going to give myself in my Son. So if Jesus was the Son of God, what is that? What's another way to say that? If he's the Son of God, he's the Son of the Spirit. He's the Son of the invisible. He's the Son of the immortal. That, now check this out. If it's saying he's the Son of God, of the immortal, there was more to the Son than just flesh, wasn't there? So his flesh came to die so that man wouldn't have to stay in the flesh. That's awesome. So, but his spirit was eternal. That's why he could be resurrected. So imagine if your spirit is eternal. If your spirit's eternal, can you be resurrected? Yeah, we're all going to be resurrected with him. That is great. So you have the Son of God who is the Word of God. He is the manifestation of immortality. That's why he had all power and was given unto him in heaven and in earth. And so you're dealing with a heavenly gospel that is now manifested in the earth. And in the earth, Jesus was preaching about his Father. Now remember, what did the verse, go back to the verse before. And let's read that again. All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. That's pretty cool. So do we need to honor the manifestation of Jesus? Yes or no? Yes, we do. Wow, there's a lot to say about that, which I will in a second. Go back to that next verse again. Verse 24. So I say unto you that he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Now you're going to find, if you read later in this chapter, that the word of the Lord speaks to those that are in the grave. Anybody ever felt like you were in a grave? Now, I'm not talking about physically. Of course, we're not in a grave here, unless you call the world one big grave. But have you ever felt like separated from God to the point where that would actually put you in a place of death, wouldn't it? Because if God, we could say many things. I could write a slew of things up here, one of them being life. And if you look at the scripture up here, everlasting life, which is immortality. So we're dealing with life eternal. And so you've got life eternal, that's God. But Jesus also said that life eternal is having the Father and the Son. What I'm saying to you is this. How would you like to experience all of eternal life? You know how you do it? You have the Word who is Spirit, and you have the manifestation, which is the Son. And you begin to think like both. You begin to think like both. In other words, Jesus thought like his Father. So when he was in the earth, how did he think? Like the Spirit. Did Jesus get caught up in the flesh? Or was he about his Father's business? Did Jesus always know he had eternal life? He did, didn't he? Because you've read the Gospels, haven't you? We've read the Gospels where we say all the things that Jesus did. You've got four accounts that show in great detail that many of the things that Jesus did, which is pretty awesome. So imagine Jesus thinking like invisible or immortal. Now, let's talk about this. Let's imagine that you could think that you're immortal. What would that look like? What would that look like in this life? What would thinking like you're immortal look like? Let's dive into this for a second. Would it look like you jumping in front of a bus? Is that what it would look like? Go ahead. Your care would be about the thoughts of eternal. That's right. So imagine, he said your thoughts wouldn't be caught up in the temporal, it'd be caught up in everlasting life. So now, if you were thinking like you're immortal or invisible or spiritual or that you have eternal life, would you be thinking about pleasing men in a regard of being seen of men so that your salvation could be great? Would you want to appear being righteous? You wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't take care of those things. See, you could separate your physical life in a sense of this. I know that I'm not going to run out in front of a bus because this body will die. Okay? I know that there are times in my life that I need to do things that please people in physical things. But if I took that kind of thought into my spiritual walk with God and I got up here and tried to preach just about pleasing everybody, am I thinking immortality? Am I thinking eternal life? No, I'm thinking I'm taking on the cares of the work of God in the flesh, and I'm going to miss it. There is one thing that Jesus promoted, and that was we need to believe in the Spirit. We need to walk as if we are born of God, and that we have a man of God in us, a woman of God in us, children of God in us that will not perish, but will live forever. And that's the good part. As we spoke about earlier, we've got some people that, as we all know with our families, that pass away. And we do in this life. But what has that passing away got to do with eternal life? What does it have to do with it? Because if eternal life is working in you, Tim, you could pass away in this life physically, but not pass away in the Spirit. You could be raised up to be forever with the Lord, couldn't you? That's awesome, man. I like that. And so Jesus is here to represent the invisible Word of God, the immortal Word of God. And we've got to learn how to serve that immortality and serve the Spirit in the mind and not get caught up in the flesh like Jesus did. Jesus was the greatest apostle of all. Therefore, he never got caught up in the flesh. He got caught up in what? The Word of God. He was the manifestation of the Word. God's Word made manifest. Let me address something here real quick. In that verse, if you believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life. And you shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Let me talk about this for a second. Remember how I showed you a minute ago? You could actually switch the words judgment and condemnation in both verses because they're the same thing. Those that believe the word of the Spirit will not come into condemnation. You know why? Why? The answer is on the scripture right there. Because you will experience a passing from death to life. You go from death to life. And what gets judged? In the book of Revelation, at the great throne of judgment, it's the dead that get judged. Those that are passed from death to life, where's their judgment? They're in resurrection. The resurrection is now raised up to walk with Jesus. Why am I preaching to you about walking in the Spirit, Tim? Because if you are passed from death to life in your thoughts, in this life right here, in your thoughts, if you've been passed from death to life and you're believing that word that Jesus said, guess what you don't have to walk in? You will not walk in condemnation. You know why? Because there is no sin going to be there for you to fall prey to. No, I get it. I get that in this life you're going to have thoughts that are full of sinful and evil things. But if you're passed from death to life, Can that life in you overcome those sin without you falling prey to them? Yeah. Yeah. Because sin works in the heart, man. Sin works in thought. Sin works in thought. As a matter of fact, let's read a scripture. Give me the very last verse of Romans 7. How many of you have ever read Romans 8? There's therefore now no condemnation to him who are in who? Christ Jesus. How many started there when you read Romans 8? Let me start you in verse. As soon as Dave gets it on the board, I'll know what verse it is. It's the last verse of Romans 7. 24, 26, 25. Thanks, Paula. This is Paul preaching, the Apostle Paul. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That's the law of the Spirit. With the mind. Check this out. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Are there two different ways to walk in flesh? If you walk in the flesh, flesh in itself, is it corruptible? Is it full of sin? Will flesh serve the law of sin? He's telling us right there it will. But with the mind, I serve the law of God. I serve the law of the Spirit. I serve the invisible. How did Paul successfully preach the gospel and never be overcome by the flesh? How did Jesus do it? How did Peter do it? How are you going to do it? How am I going to do it? I'll tell you how. Your mind is going to be passed from death to life. And if your mind is passed from death to life, you will serve the law of the Spirit. That's awesome. Okay. Reason why I started here, because chapter 8, I know man divided that, but check this out. It goes into the same thing. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, therefore, which means he had to be saying something else. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What is he saying? There's no condemnation. What is they saying? You're not going to be judged when you've been passed from death to life. You know why? You've already been judged. You've already been discerned. Judgment is discernment. So, Tim, if the Word of God comes to you and discerns you, and like we read a minute ago, if you believe on that word and it discerns you and it separates you from the sin, what's going to get judged? You are the sin. The sin's going to get judged. So are you following sin into that condemnation of the flesh? Is the flesh going to get judged? But you who serve God with the mind and the heart and the soul and your very being is going to go on to eternal life. And you're going to walk in it every day. Man, I'm telling you, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm telling you how to walk in the Spirit and not be overcome by flesh. How many of you have ever thought about the judgment of God? Let me tell you about how your physical flesh gets judged. You want to know how? How do you think it gets judged? Ha, very good, Dave. He said it goes back to the dust. It dies. Because if judgment is discerning something, do you know what judgment does, the Word of God does to flesh? It reveals that it won't live forever. That is awesome, man. So I have a hope that being in flesh is not forever. We have that hope. Of course, if you're in the earth and you love it, love it, love it, love it, guess what? judgment on that flesh is going to be a problem, isn't it? You're not going to want to die. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. The only people that really deal with dying are the people that are dying. And you don't know what you'll face when you get there. But I will say it this way. If we build the confidence of God in our hearts right now, and it's built in us with truth and hope of eternal life, and we're past in our mind, we are serving God in the Spirit. If your mind is on the Spirit, wouldn't you want to pass from right on over and just keep working in the Spirit?
You want to go to where your treasure is.
That's where your treasure is. So where's it going to start for you right now? We know it started in the beginning with God. But in this life, are you going to have to set your treasure and your hope in things of God right now? You need to. I'm telling you, if you're passed from death to life, you will walk in Jesus Christ. Like this verse here in Romans says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Man, that's so exciting. You will walk after the Spirit and not be condemned at all. Let's go ahead and read the next verse. It's very, very good. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Man, Romans 7 is connected so tight to Romans 8. Not that the whole book is not, but it is. But you can't separate those chapters. If you're reading those chapters separately, you got to connect them for sure, because the connection of the law of the Spirit versus the law of the flesh. There are things in flesh that is a law that you can't avoid. Number one is death. Flesh is, it's going to die. It is going to die. It is going to die. And if you think it's not, then you haven't watched what goes on around you. It's going to die, all flesh. Whether it be the eternal flesh in your thoughts of the old man, that's going to die. Or the physical flesh of your body, that's going to die too. It's all going to be condemned into corruption. But what makes a person great? You know what makes a person great? In God, is when they can walk in the mind of the Spirit above the flesh. Above the flesh. Because we have eternal life. I have noticed, I said earlier, we were talking about my son's birthday tomorrow. He wasn't born when we got here. So we were here in how many years now? 20 years? So he was born shortly after we moved here. 20 years being just here. Let's not even count. I was raised in church, but let's start right here. 20 years, and I think to myself today, 20 years later, I think, wow, the more you give yourself to the Word of God and believing the Word of God, the more you walk in the Spirit. The more you walk in the Spirit. Because somebody asked me the other day, I was on the phone and we were talking about how sometimes it's hard for the mind to stay in the things of God, because you get busy with life and then you don't have consistency. Anybody ever felt that way? You don't have consistency to stay thinking about the things of God. So if you're full of lust for things of this life, what do you give yourself to? If your mind's not on God, what are you going to give yourself to? To this life, right? 20 years later, I go, it was because God's Word kept talking to me. That was the secret. It's not running and jumping through the window or going through some fiery hoop or being an evil Knievel and jumping a bunch of devils or something. It's God continually talking to you. That's it. That's the cool part about serving God. His word comes and you believe His word. Put that scripture back up there we were on John 4, is it 24, 25? It's God's word continually talking to you and you continually believing it. Deborah, if you just continue believing, your mind gets shifted from flesh to spirit. You are passed from death to life. You can't do it except through Jesus, right? Yeah. He's the only way. And Jesus came preaching His word, His Father's word, didn't He? So if you're receiving a word of Jesus and He's manifested to teach you that word, you're going to be passed from death to life. But here's the key. Here's the key. You got to believe it, man. You got to believe it. And you know what I noticed early on 20 years ago? I'm going to tell myself. I didn't always believe everything. Maybe 20 years ago, maybe I struggled with believing something. Maybe I questioned or didn't know how to believe it. Maybe that was it. Maybe I just didn't understand it. So you go, well, how do I believe something I don't even understand? Did the disciples believe Jesus in everything He said? Truth is, they didn't, did they? They did not. So did they follow Him until they believed in the Spirit? Oh, they did. Until what happened? The Spirit was revealed in them. The Spirit was revealed in them. That's pretty interesting. That is interesting. And so, what am I asking you to do here today? Number one, I'm asking you to believe in the Spirit. But number two, this is the thing that's got to work in you, or you'll never really fully believe in the Spirit. You got to believe on the word that's being talked to you. You got to believe on it. That is, we talk about belief and it's almost like, oh, I believe that, I believe that, I believe it. It don't count belief as something so basic and simple. Even though it is, belief is more than just saying, oh, yeah, I believe that. You know what true belief is? True belief is change. It's transformation. Now, Tim, I want to ask you a question. If you believe something, don't you now start acting on it? Or do you, I believe that, but never act on it? You act on it. It came and it changed you, therefore you believe it. So believing is not something you go in the flesh, you just go, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Hey, you know how many believers we say are in the world who never act on the Word of God? We got a lot of believers, don't we? But they're not believers, are they? And why would I say, see, I'm going to tell you something. One thing I won't do with people is argue whether they believe or not. That's the last thing. Let me give you some advice. Don't ever argue with somebody whether they believe in God or don't believe in God. It's fruitless. And you don't want to be in strife. The point I'm making is that if that believer is acting on the Word of God, what will he act like? I read this Thursday night. What will a believer act like? Dave, you could put it up there in Mark 16:15. Actually, it's 17, right? Either 16, maybe it's 16. Talking about the believer. What does he act like? I'm going to say this and then I'm going to be done. As soon as he gets it up there. There it is. He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17. That's the one I'm looking for, verse 17. These signs follow them that believe. Oh, everybody listening? You know what that really says? A believer acts like this. In my name shall they cast out devils. Done that lately? They shall speak with new tongues. Anybody done that lately? Next verse. They shall take up serpents. Anybody done that lately? Here's the funny part. I know I'm going to keep reading. How many know now by reading that one right there that we're not talking about just, we're not talking about going out physically and doing these types of things. Where is your believer? He is your new man created in Christ Jesus. Are you doing these things? Are your thoughts working in life? Are you taking up serpents with no fear, Tim? Are you in authority over the serpent? Or is he in authority over you? Who of you can drink a deadly thing and it not hurt them? How many of you could do that? Or how many of you hear dead conversations and it enters into your spirit and hurts you? You know how we think about being hurt is maybe you fall down and get hurt, you break a leg. That's pain, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Hurt is to be in torment. Hurt is to be in fear. Hurt is to be in doubt. Hurt is to be in sorrow. Imagine you being so full of the Word of God that when you receive a deadly Word of God, you can't be hurt by it. It will not hurt you. That's powerful, man. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now imagine all of these things. Was Jesus a believer? How do you know? What? He did those things, didn't he? My question to you is, are you a believer? Have you been passed from death to life? Do you have eternal life? Or is your mind still in death? You going to live for God with the mind, or are you going to live for God with the flesh? Which one? I think it's pretty clear that we need to live for God with the mind. True? So how many want to live for God? I know you do. You tell me how to do it. You know how you're going to tell me? How do you think a good way? I'm going to finish up this verse. How many thinks a good way to show me that you're walking in the Spirit? What's a good way to do it? Put on Christ. Put on Christ, okay. I'm going to make a big point here. When you're a believer, what does a manifestation do? He does all those things, right? But I'm going to show you something here. What's the scripture say about word and deed? Dave, you got it? Whatsoever that you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what a manifestation does. That's what a believer does. He is full of word and deed. He is not just a talker. He's a doer. So is Jesus the manifestation? How does a manifestation do what he does and says what he says? He believes on the Spirit. He believes on the Father. You know who empowers him? The Father, the Spirit. So who's going to empower you? The same. The Spirit. So what do we need to be mindful of? The Spirit. Do you need to be mindful of God's needs? What does God need for you today? What does He need for you? Or are you thinking about what you need for yourself? What does God need? Be mindful of the Spirit. That's what you need to do. Be mindful of the Spirit. And you'll be, that's because you're passed from death to life. I love that, man. Praise God.